سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر نایه 15 الکلی گمنام است، خانم اولین با 28 سال هوشیاری از کشور آمریکا، مترجم عزیز امشب آقای رابی. موضوع جلسه نیروی ماکو. جلسه در اختیار شماست.
اسمیشون اولین، اسم من هم رایانه.
ببخشید ببخشید
اشکال نداره، اسم من اشکال نداره. اجازه بدید منم اینجا بشینم پشت فرمان. آقا چه زمان داریم؟
ما الان که چه بودن 45 تا 50 دقیقه معمولا وقت است.
آرایت Evelyn, this is Ryan here from England. I support to translate your share tonight. And we've got 45 minutes together. We have to be realistic. If we go section by section, give me time to just make a translate. I try my best to just as short, as sweet as possible to putting in some words to make sense for our Iranian fellows. Stage is yours now.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Ali, for asking me to be on the meeting.
خیلی ممنون از علی، تشکر کردن که دعوتشون کرده به جلسه.
My name is Evelyn. I'm an alcoholic.
اسم من اولین و یک الکلی هستم.
I want to apologize for being late. I was having problems getting into the meeting, but I'm grateful to be here.
It's coming. من خیلی معذرت میخوام که خورده به مشکل تکنیکال داشتم برای ورود به جلسه، خورده با تاخیر آمدم.
My sobriety date is April 17th, 1991. So I'll be 31 years sober in April.
Oh, nice. I got sober in April too. من توی اردیبهشت سال 1991 پاک شدم و تمیز شدم و این اردیبهشت که بیاد میشم 28 years, you say? 31. 31, yeah.
I was very young when I got sober, but I knew I had to stop drinking because it was killing me.
من خیلی جوان بودم موقعی که من تو برنامه پاک شدم، ولی میدونستم که باید 100% قطع مصرف کنم چون احساس کردم داره منو میکشه.
I live in Los Angeles, California, and I'm so sorry that I don't speak Farsi.
من توی کالیفرنیا زندگی میکنم و واقعا متاسفم از اینکه نمیتونم فارسی صحبت کنم.
I have a lot of Persian friends that are sober.
من رفیقای ایرانی هوشیار زیاد دارم.
So I'll start just very briefly what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now.
من خیلی میخوام یه جوری خلاصه وار بگم از کجا شروع شد، چطوری بود و الان تو چه شرایطی هستم.
And please don't be embarrassed to stop me when the time is over, because I don't have a clock, so please let me know when the time is up.
That's all right. I'm just keeping eyes in the watch. And just if you have to go a bit long part to just explain about your stuff, and I don't mind because I'm making a note all the time.
Okay.
And don't stop if you feel you need to just go a bit more longer than it should be.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, lived here all my life. My mother got sick when I was very, very young with cancer, and she died when I was 11 years old. So I, myself and my sister were raised by my father, single parent. He had no brothers or sisters. All of my grandparents had already died. And my father had a disease called multiple sclerosis. So he could not walk. He had no use of his legs and was in a wheelchair. So I became his caretaker from a very young age.
من توی لس آنجلس به دنیا آمدم، توی موقعی که به دنیا آمدم وقتی که 11 سالم بود مادرم بر اساس بیماری سرطان از دنیا رفت و پدرم به عنوان پدر مجرد من و خواهرم رو قرار بودش که مراقبت کنه. پدر من نه خواهر داشت، نه برادر داشت، نه پدر داشت، نه مادر داشت، خودش بود و خودش، و ضمناً هم یه معلولیتی داشت که نمیتونست راه بره، مشکل راه رفتن داشت، مشکل معلولیت داشت، و من عملا با اون سن تبدیل شدم به پرستار پدرم.
So I became a wild child. I was angry at the world. My family was very religious, and I was angry, so angry at God, and I thought I was being punished for my bad behavior, and I didn't know what was going on, but I thought my life was a punishment from God, and that's why my mother died so young and my father was sick. And I found alcohol and drugs at a very early age, and it worked for a long time. It just numbed the pain and allowed me to push down the anger and the rage and the sadness for a long time.
Yeah, man, به خاطر شرایطی گفتم من تبدیل شدم به یه بچه شرور. یه بچه خیلی وحشی شرور و من خیلی از دنیا عصبانی بودم و همچنین از خدا و همه مذاهب، چون فکر می‌کردم که علتی که مادرم مرده و پدرم بیماره و ما اینقدر بی‌کس و کاریم و این شرایطی داریم خداونده و من محصول موقعیتی که دارم محصول تنبیه الهیه. و به واسطه مسئله موقعی که الکل و مواد خیلی سن کم پیدا کردن خیلی باش حال کردم و سالیان سال منو سر کرد تا از عصبانیت و عذاب زندگیم رو بتونم هضم جذب کنم.
So when I drank, even early on, I knew I would get so sick when I drank, and I drank to excess. I drank as much as I could to numb every feeling I could, and then I started having throwing up and having blackouts and not remembering. And it was just an ugly mess. And that went on for a number of years. I went to college, and in college, I started using drugs for the same reasons. And just anything I could do to just escape from what I was feeling, escape the good, escape the bad. I thought it was fun, but it was never fun. And I just could never get to the place where I wanted to be. Either I overshot the mark or I undershot the mark. And I wound up getting married very young. I was 25. I know it's not young for some people, but for me, it was young. I was 25. And my husband was a drug dealer.
Yeah, right. من خیلی زود تبدیل شدم به یه آدم الکلی سنگین. اولا که همیشه انقدر میخوردم که کپ میکردم، خیلی بالا میآوردم، خیلی زیاده روی میکردم، هیچ وقت حالت عادی نداشتم. و این زیاده روی من کمک میکرد که شدیداً این بیهسیم رو حفظ کنم، این بیهسی رو که نسبت به الکل داشت پیدا کردم. و خیلی تو مدرسه خیلی به صورت جالبی من مواد رو پیدا کردم، موادم اضافه شد به زندگی من. من هر موادی که شما فکر میکنید رو مصرف میکردم به هر دلیلی و به هر شکلی، به خاطر اینکه احساسات خودم رو بی‌حس کنم. من از اینکه بی‌حس میشدم که از احساسم فرار میکردم خیلی باش خوشحال بودم. و به خاطر همینم تو سن خیلی کم، چه شاید توی فرهنگ شما خیلی، فرهنگ ما ایرونیا سن خیلی کمی نباشه، ولی تو سن 25 سالگی من ازدواج کردم. و جالب این که شوهر من مواد فروش بود.
And it came to a point where I would beg him not to give me anything. I would say, please don't give me, no matter how much I beg, cry, yell, whatever, just don't give me anything, which he did. He was very good about that. And then my drinking just went crazy. I just switched, from doing two things to now just drinking. And I would drink. I had a job I went to work every day. I was hungover almost every morning and in such a bad mood. And I would be really nasty to the people that I work with. And eventually that job, they fired me. And I was so mad. I thought the world was against me. They were picking on me because at that job, half the people were in Alcoholics Anonymous. And the other half of the people were huge drinkers and big alcoholics.
Right. بعد من به خاطر اینکه همسرم مواد فروش بود بعد بهش ازش التماس میکردم که سر جدت به من فقط جنس نده چون به من میدی من کنترل شرایطم از دستم میره و اونم خیلی جالبه که به خاطر که تبحر داشت مامانی مواد فروش و همسر من بود خب به من جنس نمیداد موقعی که جنس نمیداد من به صورت عجیبی الکلم به معنی واقعی شدت پیدا می‌کرد. گفتم اوکی از دست چند مواد خلاص شدم. یه مواد دارم اونم الکله و به شدت من الکل می‌خوردم و یه شغلی داشتم که تو اون شغل معمولاً آدم خیلی ناجوری بودم و به خاطر زیاد روی در مصرف الکل و غیره من دردسر زیاد داشتم. آدم خیلی خوشحالی نبودم توی سر کارم و باعث می شد که من از کار بیکار کنن و اخراجم کنن و شرط کار خیلی عصبانی بودم از این موضوع. محل کار من یه جوری بود که 50% آدم های الکولی خیلی شدید بودن، 50% از آدم هایی که اونجا کار می کردن توز AA بودن.
I tried really hard to stop drinking. I tried just like in the big book, it says, you know, all the things that we do to try to stop drinking. I tried to switch from vodka to wine. I tried from tequila to gin because I didn't like gin. But I just tried all those things. I was marking the bottles. I would take a bottle and mark that I'm not going to drink past this bottle to this mark. And I would hide bottles for myself. So I had bottles hidden all over my house and I have a tiny little house.
من خیلی سعی کردم برای قطع مصرف. هر کاری که شما بگید تو کتاب نوشته. یکی از کارهایی که فکر کردم خیلی هوشمندانه است می‌کردم. تغییر از یه چیزی به یه چیز دیگه بود. مثلا از ودکا به ویسکی، از ویسکی به ودکا یا هر چیز دیگه ای. بعد کار به جسد که رو شیشه ها علامت گذاری میکردم میگفتم این یه مورد رو من نمیخورم ولی این مورد رو میخورم ولی باز همه چی خراب میشد. خونه من خونه کوچیکی که من محل قایم کردن کار بطری های مختلف بود.
And one night I was married then and I was hiding my drinking from my husband. He didn't know what was going on. So, you know, I'm hiding, running around the house, locking myself in the bathroom. This one night I happened to have a bottle. I think it was either in the refrigerator or the freezer. It was in the freezer. And I was taking a swig and my husband walked in the kitchen and saw me. And I felt like if I could have crawled into the freezer to hide from him, I would have, but I was busted. He saw what I was doing for the first time after years.
من ازدواج کرده بودم، الکلم هم بعد به خاطر اینکه بعد داشتم سعی می‌کردم به شدت الکل خوردنم از همسرم قایم کنم و خدمت شما رسونم که یک شب یکی از اتفاقات خیلی غم انگیز این بود که یک الکلی رو من گذاشتم که یخچال یا همچی چیزی یا فریزر یادم نیست و رفتم موقعی که اون کارو بکنم همسرم یه اومد سر رسید من که همون شیرجه بزنم تو یخچال ولی خود دیگه خیلی این مسئله خنددار و احمقانه بود چون همسرم متوجه شد داستان چه شکلی داستان چی هست اصلا.
He knew, I knew, but he didn't really understand what was going on. And for the next 6 months, I got fired from my job. They told me not to come back to my job because I told one of the big bosses, I was really nasty. I don't want to say what I said to him, but something very nasty to him. And basically they said, you're fired. Don't come back. And for the next 6 months, I just drank. I drank from the minute I got up in the morning. I used to put whatever I had on hand in my coffee to start off the morning. And I just would drink all day long. I had a garden in my backyard. Really, it was just a big pile of dirt, but I called it a garden. And I used to sit in the dirt, just crying and drinking and crying and drinking. And I felt like my life was over.
من بعد از اینکه خوب شغلم از دست دادم و بعد از اینکه حالا همسرم متوجه شد اینها یه 6 ماه خیلی غم انگیزی داشتم. خب سر اون کار منو بیرون کردن و یه فوش خیلی آبدار آنچنانی به صاحب کارم دادم و اصلا بابا چون فوشن رو برو دیگه قیافه نست نبینم برای مدت ها. من عملا دیگه اون کار از دست دادم. من اون 6 ماه آخر کارم شده بود که توی از صبح که بلند میشدم تا به او الهه صبح تا غروب من فقط الکل میخوردم. یادم یه روزی توی باغچه خونمون یه سری زباله اینجوری چیده بودیم با هم دیگه رفتم یادم یه روز نشستم بغل کنار اون زباله ها و همه یه روز گریه کردم و مشروب خوردم و گریه کردم و مشروب خوردم و همجوری ادامه داشت.
So this went on for 6 months, day and night. I was drinking day and night. I could not stop. I wanted to stop. I couldn't stop. Nothing I did, and I tried everything. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine. His name was Peter. He used to work with me. And he said, why don't you, he was still working for the company. I was unemployed. He said, why don't you meet me for lunch? And I said, okay. And I knew that Peter was in the program. I knew that Peter was in AA and was sober. And it was just a very casual lunch. And I remember going to the restaurant and I looked horrible. I used to live just in sweat clothes. I barely brushed my teeth. I barely brushed my hair, but I went to the restaurant to meet him for lunch. And I walked in and he looked at me and he said, you look awful. And I said, I know I look awful on the outside, but on the inside, I feel 10 times worse.
من شما تصور کنید که 6 ماه آخر شب و روز بود کار من الکل خوردن و بالاخره مسکنات مصرف کردن. بعد یه روز یه تلفنی شد از یه دوست به نام پیتر. و اون ما با هم کار میکردیم و همکار هم دیگه بودیم. من گفتش که طلبه ای بریم یه نهار با هم بخوریم. گفتم باشه، ولی من میدونستم که پیتر توی AA و توی این مسیر. موقع که رسیدم اونجا، موقع که من دید، شما حساب کنید من نه مسواک میزدم نه مویشونه میکردم نه رسیدگی میکردم. موقع که رسیدیم به اونجا گفتش که اوضاع بیرونی داغونه. گفت میدونم، ولی خبر نداره اوضاع درونی در خیلی 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 غم انگیزتر از ظاهر.
And he asked me, he said, are you willing to go to any length, whatever it is, to not feel the way you're feeling right now? And that means you need to do exactly what I say. Are you willing to do that? And if you're willing to do that, I'll meet you tomorrow morning at a meeting. And he lived very far away from me, but he said, I'll meet you at a meeting by your house if you're willing to follow direction and do whatever I tell you to do and whatever the program tells you to do. Which I said, I'm willing to do anything. Whatever you say, I'm willing to do it because I don't want to feel this way anymore. Because at that point, really, all I wanted to do was die, but I was too afraid to kill myself. I was afraid that if I tried to kill myself, it wouldn't work. And then it would be a real mess. So the next morning, he found a meeting for me that was like 3 blocks away from my house, so close that I didn't even know about it. And he met me at this meeting. It was tiny. There were maybe 15 or 20 people, but the people there were so kind and so warm and said, welcome. And I saw people, you know, I was not the only newcomer. I saw people stand up and say, my name is Evelyn or whatever the name was, and I'm an alcoholic. And at that meeting was the first time I raised my hand and I said, my name's Evelyn, I'm an alcoholic. And I felt a huge, I don't even know how to put it into words, but I felt like there was hope for the first time that I could live without having alcohol killing me.
به من دوست من موقعی که داشتیم بهتون تو ملاقات نهار گفتش که آیا حاضری از هر کوششی رو انجام بدی برای این که این احساسی که الان داری در موردش حرف میزنی احساس نکنی؟ آیا حاضری حرف گوش کنی؟ و اگر اینجوریه فردا صبح من میتونم تو رو ملاقات کنم. من بهش گفتم که هر کاری رو که شد تو بگی من حاضرم بکنم، چون نمیخوام این احساسی که الان تو درونم دارم احساس میکنم و دوباره نمیخوام این احساس رو، میخوام که نداشته باشم اینا. با اینکه خونش از من خیلی دور بود گفتش باشه میام میبرم با هم دیگه، اگر حاضری یه مسیر رو با هم دیگه طی کنیم میام. بالاخره اومد و با هم دیگه رفتیم جلسه، از جلسه خیلی طولانی اومد، چون به معنای واقعی اون روزها روزایی بود که من میترسیدم یه بلای سر خودم بیارم. ما گرفتیم تو جلسه، خب یه جای خیلی کوچیکی بود، 10-15 نفر بیشتر نبودن و اولی آدم های خیلی نایسی، آدم های خیلی خوبی بودن، آدم های خیلی مهربون و خوبی بودن و دیدم که دونه دونه معرفی میکنن خودشون، اسم من بنیامین، حسن، حسین و دستشون میبردن بالا خودشون معرفی میکردن و من برای اولین بار تو زندگیم دستم رو گرفتم بالا و گفتم که من فلانی هستم یا خوری. میگفت یه اون احساس رو نمیتونم به کلمه توضیح بدم، ولی میتونم بهتون بگم که تو یه کلمه اگه بخوام بگم، برای اولین بار تو زندگی احساس کردم یه امیدی هست که بدون الکل گفتی هم میشه زندگی کرد.
And these people were so kind, they were loving, and they said, okay, this is what you need to do. They said, you need to go to a meeting every single day. And we have a directory here in Los Angeles. It's a little printed directory, and they took the directory and they circled which meetings I should go to. And I was very, very lucky because two blocks this way, there was a meeting, and two blocks that way, there was a meeting. So I could walk to the meeting, no problem. They had meetings at 9 a.m., noon, 3 o'clock, and nighttime. So I, you know, we're very, very lucky in Los Angeles. There's a ton of meetings. And it's, you know, it's God's will that I lived in between two meetings, the morning meeting, and there were meetings there all the time. So they said, go to a meeting every day, which I did. And they said, get people's, women's phone numbers. And if anybody asks you for your phone number, give them your phone number, which I did. So I used to collect phone numbers, and they told me, call three women every day and just see how they're doing, which was not a problem for me because I had nothing else going on. And I was so afraid to come home that because I thought if I came home that I would be drinking again. So I went to a lot of meetings. I went to three meetings a day. I'd go in the morning, I'd go at noon, and I'd go at night. And on the third day of my sobriety, I went to a woman's meeting. And I was coming out of the meeting, and I identified, I was at the meeting. I said, my name's Evelyn. I'm a newcomer. I have 3 days sober. This woman came after me at the end of the meeting, and she said, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm very scared to go home. I'm afraid if I go home, I'm going to drink. And she said, I'll come home with you. I'll come home with you. And that was amazing. She said, why are you afraid? I said, I have alcohol all over my house. It's everywhere. It's hidden everywhere. And she said, don't worry about it. I'll come. And at first I said, no. And then just something came into my head and I said, okay, come home with me.
من شروع کردم از بعد یه سری کار رو انجام دادن، جلسه رفتن و من خیلی خوششانس بودم چون که جایی که زندگی میکردم دو تا ساختمون اون برتر جلسه بود، دو تا ساختمون این برتر جلسه بود. ما خیلی خوشبختیم که توی لس آنجلس جلسه خیلی 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 زیاده. من جلسات حساب من نزدیک خونم جلسات صبح 9 صبح بود، زور بود و عصر بود. من هر سفاره میرفتم و هر روز صرف جلسه میرفتم و به من توصیه شد که با خانم ها شماره خانم ها رو بگیر و با خانم ها شروع کن صحبت کردن، روزی حداقل به 3 خانم تماس بگیر. و خب من تو زندگیم خیلی زندگی خیلی چیز هیجان انگیزی نبود، چیزی برای تعریف کردن، ولی زنگ زدم با این خانم‌ها خیلی حرفای جالبی با هم دیگه می‌زدیم. من شما در نظر داشته باشید که سه تا جلسه در طول روز می‌رفتم، روز سوم یک رفتم جلسه‌ای که فقط خانم ها توش بودن، جلسه بانوان، و موقعی که خواستم از جلسه بیام بیرون یک خانمی از من سوال کرد که حالت چطوره؟ گفتم که خیلی بدم. گفت چرا؟ گفتم که من میترسم برم خونه، چون که برم خونه احساس میکنم که الکل بخورم. گفت من با تو میام. خود مقاومت ذهنی داشتم و یه خانمی رو میخوام برم خونه بخورم، ولی ایشون اومد.
So I did those things. She came home with me. She said, get all the alcohol, round it all up, which I did. I had, you know, bottles everywhere. And I had two brand new bottles that hadn't been opened yet. And she was pouring everything down the drain. Everything was down the drain. I wound up filling up two big trash bags of empty bottles. And these two bottles that I had that hadn't been opened, she said, let's pour them out. And I said to her, can't I give them to a friend? I mean, it seems like such a waste. Can't I give them away? And she looked me in the eye, straight in the eye, and she said, are you worth $19.99 or whatever it costs you to buy this bottle? And for the first time in my life, I realized that I was worth something. And that's how my sobriety started. She wound up becoming my first sponsor, and she had me do all the things that she was taught to do, was go to a meeting every day, take commitments at meetings, reach out to people with less time than me. And I was like, wait, I have 3 or 4 days. She said, good. You stick your hand out to the person that has one day. You need to take commitments at the meetings. If somebody needs, now we're on Zoom, but at the time, if we have a coffee commitment, you come and make the coffee, or you wash the coffee cups afterwards. You start praying, even if you don't believe that there is God or whatever you want to call it, you start praying to whatever you think my God is. And she asked me point blank, she said, do you believe that I believe? And I said, yes, but you don't understand. I said to her, you don't understand my God. My God hates me and wants me dead.
ما خانم که اومد خونمون شروع کردیم به پاکسازی خونه و هرچی که الکل بودش بطری‌هاش که خونه من پر از بطری‌هایی بود که توش نصف الکل‌های مختلف بود، همه رو می‌ریختیم توی سینک ظرفشویی و همچنین ادامه داشت. رسیدیم به دو تا بطری که هیچ وقت درش باز نشده و من بهش گفتم، گفت اینا می‌خوام بریزیم دور. گفتم که نه، بذار کار خیرخواهانه بکنیم، می‌تونیم به رفیقامون. فکر میکردم که آدم خفنی هستم با این کار، میخوام ببخشم به کسی. و اون خانم بهم گفتش که آیا واقعا ارزش تو مثلا $19.99، آیا ارزش تو 5000 تومان این لحظه؟ گفتم که برای اولین بار تو زندگیم با شنیدن این جمله به این مسئله فکر کردم که من هم یک ارزشی دارم، من یک لیبل و ارزشی دارم. و اون خیلی حرف جالب بود و اون خانم رو به عنوان راهنما انتخاب کردم، یعنی راهنمای من شد و کارهای مختلف با هم انجام دادیم. کارهای خدماتی خیلی دم درگیر کرد و یکی از چیزهایی که حالا میخوام در موردش حرف بزنم، به من توصیه کرد که دعا کن و به هر چیزی که اعتقاد داری یا نداری به یه چیزی شروع کن دعا کردن و این فرصت رو ادامه بده. و من بهش گفتم که من خیلی با خدای خودم اصلا کلا با خدا زیاد حال نمی کنم، چون که خدای من خدایی که منو تنبیه کرده تو این سالا و این آخر عاقبت سیاهی که امروز دارم نتیجه تنبیهشونه.
So my sponsor, she just had me do all of the things, you know, go to the meetings, get a commitment, reach out my hand to other people, call people back when they called me, which was a problem for me. I hated talking on the phone, but she was like, you have to learn how to talk on the phone and ask other people how they're doing rather than thinking about how you're doing. And the biggest thing for me was changing my, I don't even know how to put it into words, but changing my my impression of God or a higher power. Because in my mind, I was raised in a religious family, and we had a certain image, and I don't even know what the word would be, but what God was. And I had to learn that that image of my God that I had as a child and a young adult had to be changed. My God, I had to learn how to have my own personal God or higher power, something that loved me and something that took care of me. It may not always look the way I want it to look, and I may not get all the things I want to get, but my higher power has the highest good for me. And it was very, very hard and took a very long time to make that separation between religion and spirituality, because my religion, which probably is not your religion, it's different, but my religion was, and I love my religion, but I had this, it was spirituality and religion never came together. And now, you know, many years later, it has come together. But I had to learn how to find my own higher power, my own God that cared about me, that loved me, that really had a higher purpose for me in this world. And that took a long time. It took a lot of praying. It took a ton of writing, a lot of inventory work, and a lot of going to meetings and getting out of myself and being there for others.
Yeah, راهنمای من به من گفتش که باید یه سری کار رو شروع کنی انجام دادن و منم که خب پذیرفتم به این جمله کمک کردن به دیگران جلسه زیاد رفتن و تلفن دادن یکی از کارهایی بود که من خیلی دوستش نداشتم چون خیلی اصلا علاقه ندارم که نداشتم کلا با تلفن حرف بزنم و راهنمون گفت باید یاد بگیری که با تلفن مکالمه تلفنی برقرار کنی، باید روشش یاد بگیری و این که به جنگ زنگ بزنی به اونی که دیگران به تو بزنن که حالت چطوره، سعی کن که احوال دیگران رو بپرسی. و یکی از مسائل خیلی مهمی که من اتفاق افتاد تغییر دادن تعریف من از خداونده، این که من خداوند چه تعریفی دارم. شما در نظر بگیرید من توی خانواده مذهبی به دنیا آمدم و تصویری که از کودکی به عنوان خداوند برای من در نظر گرفتن، من اصلا و اصلا دوست نداشتم این تصویر رو و احساس میکردم خدایی که خیلی چیز تنبیهگره، اون ترازوی بزرگ در دست ایشونه و من باید یاد میگرفتم که خدای شخصی خودم رو انتخاب کنم. برای خودم دو تا اولویت گذاشتم، یکی این که اون خداوند باید خیلی مهربون باشه، منو دوست داشته باشه، و دوم این که باید از من مراقبت کنه. مهربان بودن و از من مراقبت کردن دو تا شرط اصلیش بوده. خب مذهبی که من داشتم مطمئنم مذهب شما فرق میکنه. تو اون مذهب البته الان این خود آپدیت شده توی دنیایی که اون مذهب وجود داره که روحانیت و مذهب هیچ وقت با همدیگه میکس نمیشدن. برای من سالها نوشتنهای زیاد، جلسه های خیلی زیاد و دعاهای خیلی زیاد داشتم که بتونم بفهمم که حالا با اینکه علاقه هم دارم به مذهبم، راه روحانی من تو برنامه چه نوع راه روحانیه و اینکه اون غایت نهایی رو که حضرت حق برای من داره رو بتونم پیدا کنم تو برنامه. Yeah.
So, you know, that has been the thing that for almost 31 years that I have never lost about turning my life, my will and my life over to the care of, I call it God. It's whatever, you know, it's whatever you make it to be or you want it to be. It can be a doorknob if you want. It can be the ocean. It can be anything. And mine started off with the ocean. That's what I felt was my higher power, was the ocean. It was something that had more powerful that I could not control. And, you know, my sponsor at the beginning used to say, well, think of the ocean, the waves coming in. Try going out to the beach and stopping the waves. That's how I needed to see my higher power. It was just something, for me, it was in nature, something that was more powerful than I was. You know, we had a big earthquake. That was the thing that cemented it more than anything else, was there is something in this universe that is more powerful than me and that has kept me alive and going for all these years, even though, you know, there were a lot of things in my life that were unfortunate. And I continue to do the same things that I did when I first got sober. I still go to meetings. I definitely go to 2 meetings a week, usually 3. You know, with the pandemic, it's been a little bit weird, but I try to get to at least 3 meetings a week. I still have commitments at a meeting. Today is my last day for one of my meetings. I'm the treasurer and I took another commitment. I reach out to other women, see how they're doing. I have a sponsor. I still do a lot of writing and reading the big book. I met with my sponsor on Friday to do it. I had needed to read her some writing. I did a 10th step and I'm willing to take direction from her because I never want to go back to where I was before. You know, no matter what has happened in sobriety, and there have been rough things, things that were not wonderful. My father passed away, which was the worst day of my entire life. It was very sudden. And I got through that sober with the help of the men and the women in Alcoholics Anonymous and my sponsor and this God or higher power that I have. I got through, my house caught on fire several years ago, and that was horrible. And I got through that with the help of my higher power and the men and women of Alcoholics Anonymous and so much help. And I still do those same things that I was taught at the very beginning, because for me, I don't know what part of Alcoholics Anonymous is going to keep me sober today. I don't know if it's the steps. I don't know if it's being of service to another person. I don't know if it's being a sponsor to somebody or having a sponsor or just having a higher power and praying or going to meetings. You know, I have been blessed beyond belief to be alive and sober today. And it's totally because of Alcoholics Anonymous. My life is not perfect, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful for what it is. And I'm so grateful for that.
من به واسطه این که یه باوری رو نسبت به نیروی برتر پیدا کردم تو برنامه، من این نوید رو دیدم که هیچ وقت توی زندگیم گم نشدم، هیچ وقت راهم رو گم نکردم. هر خدایی که شما دارید و هر چیزی که هست دقیقا همون درسته. من شروع کردم با تصفح، اولین خدایی من تو برنامه اقیانوس بود. راهنمان به من یه مثالی زد و من اینو انتخاب کردم و گفتش که یه چیزی که خیلی خیلی قوی تر از تو باشه و کنترل روی قدرتش نداشته باشی، مثل اینکه بری لب ساحل و سعی کنی که وایس اونجا موقعی که اقیانوس موجش داره میاره جلوی اون موجو بگیری. من متوجه شدم که یه همچین تفکر و همچین ایدئولوژی من نیاز دارم برای اینکه بتونم با انتخاب کنم اون خدا رو. ولی خب منو زنده نگه داشت اون باوری که نسبت به خداوند داشتم، من زنده نگه با تمام مشکلات زیادی که توی این مسیر داشتم. من همچنان کارهای ابتدایی ساده برنامه رو که توی 31 سال شروع کردم همچنان دارم همون کارا رو میکنم. هفته 3 جلسه میرم. حالا پندمی کرونا اومد و یه سری اتفاقات افتاد، خود عجیب غریب بود، ولی با تمام این اوصاف من هفته 3 جلسه میرم. من کار خدماتی میکنم. امروز آخرین روز خزانه داری من بود تو گروهمون و تمایل دارم یه خدمت دیگه ای رو بگیرم. به خانم ها کمک میکنم، این جزء وظایف خودم دارم بگیرم. کتاب میخونم، میرم به دیدن راهنمام فرایده این جمعه دارم میرم، قرار با هم یه سری نوشته ها رو بخونیم. ولی خب تمایل و انجام کارهای مختلف دارم توی برنامه برای اینکه بتونم این مسیرمو ادامه بدم. مطمئنن خب خیلی چیزا پیش اومد توی 31 سال. من پدرم فوت کرد به صورت خیلی غیر منتظره و خیلی یهویی، ولی بدترین روز زندگی من بود. ولی بچه برنامه و این حقیقت 12 قدم الکلیه گمنام کمک کرد که من هوشیار بمونم. چند سال پیش خونم با جاش آتیش گرفت و از بین رفت و بازم خواهرها و برادرهای من تو برنامه خیلی من کمک کردن که از این پروسه رو طی کنم. این که من نمیدونم کدوم قسمت برنامه به چه شکلی داره تو زندگی من کار میکنه، آیا قدم خداوند خدمت یا راهنماست، ولی من مادامی که همه پروگرام و برنامه رو انجام میدم میدونم بالاخره یکی از اینها روزانه داره من کمک میکنه. خلاصه این که من خیلی خیلی مورد رحمت و فیض خداوند قرار گرفتم که من رو زنده نگه داشت و اینم مدینه ای هستم. زندگیم خیلی خیلی عالی و شیک و مجلسی نیست، ولی انقدی قشنگ هست و انقدی قابل پذیرش هست نسبت به روزی که اومدم تو برنامه. Yeah.
So I think I'm running out of time now. I want to thank Ali for asking me to do this. It's my honor and my privilege to participate in Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is definitely the furthest meeting away that I've been to, and I've been to meetings in Europe and all over the world, but never in Tehran. I just pray for all of you that you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, because this really is the easier, softer way. I just had to surrender everything I thought I knew about everything to change my life. And I'm so, so grateful to the men and women of Alcoholics Anonymous for carrying me and leading me and teaching me how to live my life differently. And I just pray for you that you all get this thing and it clicks, that there's a little click. And even when there isn't a click, just do it anyways. Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. And I wish the best for all of you.
All right. Probably we are not going to see you in your birthday in April. If you just in the sum up in the one sentence, can you tell us something about your experience in 31 years?
Life changing. Just a completely different attitude about life and myself.
Nice one. Thank you. I really appreciate you have the group, and yeah, it's good to having you in the Middle East. Someone just from the completely different part of the world to share us their experience and strength. And I really appreciate you have the group. I'm going to pass that last bit of your share, and yeah, all the best. You can stay with us. You can unmute yourself. I'm sure the Farsi language sounds great for you, but you can stay with us or you can leave. It's completely up to you. خیلی ممنونم از علی و بچه‌ها که ترتیب اثر دادن و من رو دعوت کردین به اینجا. من برای همتون توی ایران دعا میکنم. این دورترین جلسه زندگیم بوده که اروپا رفته بودم، ولی دیگه برم تهران جلسه دیگه خیلی نوبر بودش. اینکه خدمت شما عرض کنم که من میتونم اگه کسی توی اینجا هستش که برنامه هنوز براش جا نیفتاده و اینجا داره به این مسئله فکر میکنه، که یا اگه آدم نسبتا جدیدی تو برنامه، این که دارم میگم که من تسلیم شدم، همه چی تو همه مسائل زندگیم تسلیم شدم و این کمک کرد. من خیلی سپاسگزارم از شماها و انجمن الکلیای گمنام که آموزش پذیر رو من هدیه کرد، و برای همتون دعا میکنم که این برنامه مثل قدیما سکه ایرون که مینداختیم وقتی شماره میگرفت میگفت کلیک، اون دوزاریه میافتاد. توی اصطلاح انگلیسی هست میگن امیدواریم اون کلیکه براتون اتفاق بیفته، یعنی دوزاریه بیفته. امیدوارم که اون دوزاریه بیفته برای همتون و اون برنامه رو بگیرید. من ازش پرسیدم که شما توی اردیبهشت، من دیگه شما رو نمیبینیم برای تولد 31 سالگیتون، اگر تو یه جمله میتونید در مورد 31 سالگیتون یه چیزی بگید چی است؟ که گفتن که زندگی داره تغییر میکنه. من نگرشم نسبت به خودم و زندگی خیلی تغییر کرده و داره تغییر میکنه. و از طرف گروه هم من مفصلاً و با تشکر کردم ازشون که وقتشون در اختیار ما گذاشتن، گفتم میتونن بمونن، میتونن برن هر چیزی که پایان. مرسی مانی جان، این کشتی در اختیار شماست. من دیگه سکوت.
Merci and happy new year. I'm going to go. Thank you.